Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, October 8th. I'm Abby Larico. People around St. Louis have marked 1 year since the October 7th attacks in Israel and the start of the war in Gaza, with events to remember the dead.
But I'm scared. It's scary to wear your Jewish star. It's scary to enter a synagogue. We need to be around and not let fear guide us.
Mourning a year of bloodshed after this news on The Gateway. A ruling on Missouri's restrictions on gender-affirming care is expected by the end of the year. The Missouri Independent reports a Wright County Circuit Court judge is now reviewing final statements of facts and findings from plaintiffs and defendants. The trial wrapped last week without closing arguments after nearly 2 weeks of testimony. The trial followed a challenge from transgender minors, their families, and health care providers over the constitutionality of a 2023 law restricting gender-affirming care for minors. It also bans Missouri Medicaid from covering gender-affirming treatment for adults and restricts prisoners from that treatment in state prisons. Judge Craig Carter has acknowledged his decision is likely to face an appeal either way. Similar cases in other states have been appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. St. Louis Public Schools Director of Transportation Toyin Akinola has retired, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Her departure comes as the school district faces ongoing issues with getting students to and from school after their main vendor, Missouri Central Bus Company, canceled its contract in the spring. This shortage of bus drivers led the district to rely on a patchwork of private vendors, which some parents have complained are not reliable. Akinola is among a number of top school administrators who have left St. Louis Public Schools in recent months, including Superintendent Keisha Scarlett, who was fired last month. Insurance rates have skyrocketed for Missouri schools in the wake of increasingly frequent and intense storms, Jody Fortino reports.
Climate change-driven weather events are causing more damage to Missouri school buildings. Dr. David Buck is the superintendent of the Lee Summit School District. He said schools have to fit insurance increases in their existing budgets, often at the expense of salaries and instruction costs.
Every time you have these increases in the other, 18 to 15%, it just takes away from what can then funnel to the classroom.
The nonprofit Missouri United School Insurance Council covers 90% of the state's school districts. Its cost to cover claims has doubled since 2017. I'm Jody Fortino.
The recently named head of the FBI office in St. Louis says community engagement will be central to her time leading the bureau in the region. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on Ashley Johnson's plans.
Johnson says violent crime is a priority for her agents, as it is for most of their local law enforcement partners. She says the FBI will always provide investigative support when needed. But she won't wait until the crime happens to start engaging with police departments or the residents they serve.
It can be a fun event, right? Everything that the FBI does is not always law enforcement, but just being in the community, showing up in various ways.
Johnson joined the FBI in 2007 and has spent most of her career in offices in the South. She worked as a probation officer right after college and later got a master's degree in social work. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Jury selection begins today in the federal racketeering, bribery, and conspiracy trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. As Dave McKinney reports, a former juror who knows the evidence against Madigan will be watching closely.
Robert Garnes was a juror in last spring's federal trial of four former ComEd executives and lobbyists convicted of conspiring to bribe Madigan. Madigan wasn't charged then, but some of the same evidence will be used against him now. Garnes thinks the ex-speaker knew the utility was putting his political allies on its payroll to influence him based on how often Madigan's name kept surfacing in that trial.
It came up so many times, either directly or indirectly, that there's just no way that he could not know what was going on.
Madigan has denied wrongdoing.
This is Dave McKinney.
Election Day is less than a month away, but tomorrow is an important deadline for voters. In Missouri, tomorrow is the last day to register to vote. I repeat, in Missouri, tomorrow is the last day to register to vote, which can be done online at the Secretary of State's website or by mailing in a form that has to be postmarked by October 9th. Tomorrow is also Illinois' deadline to register by mail, but people living there can also register online by October 20th or on Election Day at some polling places. Any U.S. citizen and state resident can register to vote if they will be at least 18 years old on Election Day, which is November 5th. October is the 30th annual LGBT History Month. This time to remember gay history and the people who made it is now recognized around the world, but the effort started in St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Maya Norfleet reports.
Then Melville High School teacher Rodney Wilson told his students he was gay in 1994. He was teaching a lesson about the groups Nazis targeted during the Holocaust.
I was trying to say to these students at South County St. Louis, there's a world that existed long before you came here. And sometimes people acting in that world behave terribly.
Soon after, Wilson got support from organizations across the U.S. to found LGBT History Month. He was in St. Louis Friday to commemorate the 30th anniversary at the Missouri History Museum's Gateway to Pride exhibit. Wilson was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Maya Norfleet, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louisans gathered to mark 1 year since Hamas attacked Israel, killing 1,200 people and sparking a military response that has claimed more than 40,000 lives in Gaza. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz visited two events where Palestinian supporters mourned a year of bloodshed. But first, as St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, people gathered last night in Creve Coeur to honor the lives lost 1 year ago.
About 1,300 people filed past metal detectors and into the gymnasium at the Jewish Community Center in Creve Coeur for a remembrance event. Gay Gordon of Chesterfield says she was concerned about the Saturday incident in which a group waved swastika flags by the roadside in Town and Country. An ominous sign, she says, a year after the deadliest day for Jews since the Holocaust.
We need to be around and not let them win and not let fear guide us. I love the support that we get, but I'm scared. It's scary to wear your Jewish star. It's scary to enter a synagogue. My kids weren't happy that I was coming, and I said, you know what? I have to do this.
The program included rabbis and other leaders of Jewish organizations, prayers for the dead, the Israeli national anthem, and a song by Rick Recht dedicated to the hostages.
Sirens are blaring, calling your name far and wide. Know that we know you're still alive, and soon in each other's arms we will cry.
There was little discussion of the war in Gaza or U.S. policy toward Israel. Rabbi Brad Horowitz, chief Jewish engagement officer at the JCC, says it was not a night to debate, but rather to support one another.
It's not the time to really argue or to talk about the politics or decisions that the Israel government may or may not made, or if the United States is being, you know, as supportive or not enough supportive. Really, today is the time to think about those we've lost and to think about those people who are still in captivity right now who are suffering.
At the back of the room, there were photos of victims and survivors of October 7th, 18 of them. That's the number in Judaism that represents life. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
And I'm Arla Kaziz. At a vigil in Webster Groves Friday, people lit candles to mark a year of deadly war. It was a somber night with music, poetry, and tears. Palestinian Americans like Nidat Matan have struggled to cope with the death and destruction in Gaza. At the vigil, Matan read a poem she found moving. It's called The Perplexing Smiles of the Children of Palestine, and it's about the horrors of war.
An ethnic cleansing by any definition. Still your laughter can be heard, and somehow you are able to smile. Oh, resilient children of Palestine.
Matan says she thinks about Gaza all the time, so it's hard to see others ignore Israel's attacks on civilians.
It feels very crazy and almost like I'm living two different lives when everything I'm seeing on my phone and the spaces I'm surrounded in are like, organize, rise up, fight against the genocide and the network. It's just very tame.
People have protested in St. Louis. Mariam Duidad is an elementary school music teacher, and she's furious that the U.S. still sends weapons to Israel.
I teach little children, so like I have to be upbeat, yet I'm seeing things on my feed, like children dying, like children taking their last breath. And I walk around and there's this anger that I feel of like, why isn't anyone talking about this?
A year into this relentless war, Duidad is hopeful that more people will start talking about it. That's what brought her to an event Saturday where people discussed Palestinian history. A children's Debke group ended the night with a folk performance, a reminder the dancers say that even in a time of war, Palestinians are determined to preserve their culture and connection to the land. I'm Ala Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin and Aula Kaziz, reporting on events held to remember those killed in the October 7th attacks on Israel and the war in Gaza. Editors were David Cazares and Brian Heffernan. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.